Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our reading is from 2 Peter, as you heard it read a few minutes ago. Let us pray. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name be glory, because of thy mercy and because of thy truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes I have theological conversations with seminarians in the cafeteria and other places as well. And we'll get to that point of the conversation, they'll say, but Pastor Dreyer, isn't the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures inspired? I said, inspired? What do you mean by this? Well, as you know of it, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And they may even quote from the passage from today that the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I say, I still don't know what you mean by inspiration. And then a little seminarian tear starts coming down. But what do we mean by inspiration? Or what do we mean by the work of the Holy Spirit? For this is exactly what inspiration is the work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say regarding the Holy Spirit? Well, John 16 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you unto all truth. And as we know from the 14th chapter of John, that Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit does two things. It says, don't you see Jesus? Or let me testify to you about Jesus. And secondly, the Holy Spirit is to bring Christ to you. The Holy Spirit works through the Word in your life. As the Holy Spirit works through the Word, as you hear it being preached, working within your own life. But if we stop there, speaking about the nature of the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word in your life, we might believe that the meaning of God's Word is measured by your life and piety. How much faith must I have actually believe in this truth of this Word? Or that I may believe in the Word that works in a mystical way within my life, that at the end the measure of the Word is found in the receiver, namely in me. This is why Peter writes in today's passage, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. In other words, does this truth of the Scripture find its validity within your own life, or is this truth of God's Word there despite you? The meaning of God's Word is known through the person, namely in Jesus Christ, despite you. Christ's death and resurrection for you and your salvation is true despite the strength and weaknesses of your faith, or how you feel about it, or how great or weak your piety is. Instead, our faith rests within a certain truth and promise of God in Christ Jesus, as testified by Peter and others. We don't have faith in our faith as what we call fides reflexa, but we have faith in the faithful one, namely in Christ. This faith is a gift. This faith is Christ's perfected faith within you. It is truth that exists despite you. That is that life that Christ died and rose on the third day for you and for your own salvation through the forgiveness of sins. Like, for example, in the Lord's Supper, is it Christ's body and blood simply upon the altar because Jesus says so through his word, this is my body, it's my blood? Or is it Christ's body and blood simply as you receive it, if somehow it mystically works within you and validates the fact that it is, in fact, Christ's body and blood? It is indeed Christ's body and blood despite you, as the Word of God says, it's my body and blood, that even if a pagan comes to the altar, the pagan still receives Christ's body and blood to his condemnation, of course, because the Word of God says, this is my body, this is my blood. How about when a baby is baptized? How do we know that the baby has faith and receive the forgiveness of sins? Do we stare at the child? No. The child is not the measure of things in this event. We stare at Christ and his promise there and given in baptism. This is the meaning of life. This is the how logos. It is all that is all is in Christ Jesus. A truth that exists despite us. Peter says that he was an eyewitness of our Lord's majesty. In other words, an eyewitness of truth of Christ as he testifies in God's word. The witness was the objective truth of what Christ has done for us and for our salvation, and which we receive as a gift through holy baptism. This reality is known, as Peter testifies, as an eyewitness in today's passage. It reads, "For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, and with whom I am well pleased,' with ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." For Peter says, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths." The Gnostics of the day believed that the Holy Spirit works through the word mystically within us, where we interpret the scriptures through us and our piety, and not solely through what Christ has done for us in our own salvation, as the church has publicly testified through the apostles. This is a matter of law and gospel, where the law shows us that of our damnable sin, gets us out of the way, and say that all is Christ, all is the gospel. As Christians, we simply confess those things like in the Apostles' Creed, that Christ has died for me and rose on the third day for us in our own salvation, in the forgiveness of sins. This is faith and truth that has come to us in our baptism and received in Christ's body and blood. It is in these things that I know that salvation has come to me. In the name of Jesus, amen.